This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One another. Now ask yourself this. How many times do you initiate salam to other Muslims? Whether you know them or not. Of course, if you know the Sheikh, you will definitely, the minute you see me, you will say, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I'm a celebrity, you have to give me salam. The problem is not here. The problem is, if I see you, will I initiate salam to you? Or will I walk in, look at you? I'm waiting for you to start salam. Why are you, Sheikh, not giving salam? He's the one who's supposed to give salam for me first. This is a big problem because it deals with the heart. It deals of what you think of yourself. Are you arrogant or are you a true Muslim? This to whom you know is understood. I see someone I know, definitely I'm going to give salam to. I see my boss, I see my relative, I see my neighbor. Assalamu alaikum. No problem because I know him. The upper hand is to give salam to those you do not know. This means that you are a true and real Muslim because you're not expecting any return. I can give salam to my neighbor because I always park my car in his parking area. So I'd like to soften his heart so he would not object. But someone I do not know. I know he's a Muslim. I've seen him in the masjid. I don't know him personally. I don't want anything from him. Why should I give him salam? This is what signifies your good iman. That you want to share the word of salam. That you're getting a lot of reward and benefit. You say, Assalamu alaikum. This is 10 good deeds. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is 20 good deeds. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Akhi, are you giving a speech? Khalas, move on. You get 30. 30 deeds, so long. But who does it? And this is why the Prophet warned against giving salam to specifics. Meaning that we are all here sitting, about 20 of us, and someone comes and says, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Asim. He is specifying and neglecting the other 19. This happened with Abdullah bin Mas'ud. A man came and said, Assalamu alaikum Aba Abdurrahman. Now, the normal thing is to be happy and say, Alaikum Assalam. He said, this is what the Prophet warned us from. He warned us from giving salam specifically to a person and neglecting the others. So the issue of salam is not easy. And this shows you that there is no class, there is no grades among Muslims. You're a ruler, you're a peasant, you are a manager, you are a subordinate, you're all together. Assalamu alaikum for all. But to specifically single out this person just because I know him and I don't know the others, this is something that is wrong. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, spread As-salam, you become Muslims. Afshu as-salam, tuslimu. And this means that it is part of my deen to spread salam. Of course, in the case of a Muslim, that you know he's a Muslim, if someone you're doubtful whether he's Muslim or not, then you don't give salam. But if someone his looks are definitely Muslim, or you are in a Muslim country, for sure, there are no kafirs in your country, so you give salam without any problem. Abdullah ibn Salam, who knows him? Who was a rabbi, and he was among the first to embrace Islam. He said, when I heard of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam coming to Medina, I went out to meet him and look into his eyes, look at his face. Because by looking at the face, you can tell if the person is fraud or real. So he said, the moment I saw him, I knew that this was not the face of a liar. And the first statements that I heard from him, he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, afshus salam, spread the word of salam, of assalamu alaikum, wa at'imu at'am, and feed the food, wa silu al-arham, connect your next of kin, wa sallu bil-layl, wan nasu niyam, and pray at night when people are asleep, tadkhulu al-jannata bisalam, and you will enter heaven and paradise in peace. So these are the first things that he took from the Prophet's mouth, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And finally, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, the most stingy of all people is the one who's stingy of giving salam when he meets them. So always spread the word of as-salam, and Allah knows best. Yes.
Chapter 6. To like for one's Muslim brother what one likes for himself is a part of faith. Narrated Anas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you will have faith till he wishes for his Muslim brother what he likes for himself.
Fine. Now, part of Iman and proper Islam is that you have what's between you and your community fixed. I could have what's between me and Allah fixed by praying, by fasting, by doing what Allah wants me to do. Yet with the others, I have the worst of akhlaq. I'm rude. I am abusive. I use vulgar language. But I pray in the masjid and I fast Ramadan and Mondays and Thursdays and I'm trying to be a good Muslim between me and Allah. Islam comes to fix also what's between you and the community. So Islam teaches us to spread goodness among ourselves, to love for one another what we love for ourselves. First, he told us to refrain in the hadith. Refrain from using your tongue verbally to abuse others and to harm others with your own actions. Refraining is okay. Is it a lower level or a higher level? Can we have something saying a question whenever I ask us a question so that the people are awake? I see a lot of the brothers are asleep. Brothers, do not sleep, because I am looking for a pillow and a mattress. If I see you sleep, I feel sleepy as well. Then it's a lose-lose situation. Again, the question. When Allah tells us to refrain from abusing others verbally or by action, is this a lower level or a higher level? Correct. I didn't get you. Lower? No, do not repeat. Said yes or no. Lower?
Yes.
Okay. Higher?
Yes.
It's a difference of opinion among scholars. Alhamdulillah. Refraining from doing bad is a lower level. The higher level is to refrain and to do good. So this hadith is the higher. The lower we took, we spoke about. Now this hadith is about being faithful and having full iman if you love for your brothers what you love for yourself. But this hadith is not to be taken literally. Why? Why? This is a good question. I'll tell you a secret. I smoke. A'udhu billah. So I meet the brother and I have a cigarette. What are you doing? That's a hadith. What are you talking about? Is this acceptable? Why? Because there is a word that is embedded, but you cannot see it. There are narrations that mention it. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. There has to be this addition. So I love to my brothers what I love to myself of goodness only. But if someone who is drinking wine or doing sins and he said, let's share. Well, yesterday I saw a movie. Whoo, this is a DVD. Try it. And I love for my brother what I love for. No, this is sinful. You will not be a Muslim at all. Yeah, now you are falling in not refraining from spreading evil verbally and by actions. So this is important that you know this. Now, part of the importance of this hadith, loving for others what I love for myself, communities will never flourish. Communities will never progress unless we have this Islamic characteristic in us. When we refrain from harming others, when we learn how to forgive, and this is something we as Muslims really need, forgiveness. I see it in households. When sisters fight together, sisters, siblings, and they never forgive one another. I received a letter once in my masjid, and she was a girl of 22 or 23 years of age, saying that my mother, who is in her 70s or 60s, did not speak with my uncle, who is in his 80s, for 30 years or 40 years. Why? Because of a dispute that took place when they were young and children, and they boycotted one another. How can they raise a family with such hatred? How can they give their own children love and compassion and teach them how to spread salam among others? This is why, as Muslims, you have to love for your brothers what you love for yourself of goodness. Do you like people to forgive you? Then you have to learn how to forgive. You have to learn how to visit the sick, how to compensate those desperate and in need, how to sponsor an orphan, how to take care of a widow, how to meet people with a smiling face, with a clean heart. Why is it the more you become serious in Islam, the more grumpy you are? It's very strange. I know people who were not committed to Islam well, and all of a sudden they started practicing, alhamdulillah, but they start to frown in my face whenever I see them. They're so serious, going to the masjid, coming out. I crack a joke, this guy's very funny. What is this? Smile, do something. There is something wrong in us. We have to start to make ourselves all over again according to the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ used to smile. The companions used to sit in the masjid talking about their times in jahiliyyah. He said, yeah, before Islam, I used to do this and this. Oh, I used to do that. And the Prophet sits there listening to them in the masjid, talking about things in jahiliyyah, and simply smiles. What would we do? Oh. In the masjid, you don't fear Allah. And things about jahiliyyah, you're kafir. Attend the course with Sheikh Asim, and inshallah you know that there are branches of iman. This is not kufr. This is not even sinful. The Prophet approved it, alayhi salatu wasalam. There was nothing haram in it. But we have to freshen up. Smiling in the face of your Muslim brother, caring for their feelings, giving them way, especially when you're coming out of the parking lot tonight, inshallah, when you're leaving home. You don't have to run them over, or you came first. Give them way. Feel like a Muslim. Fadl akhi. Jazakallah khair. This is in dunya. Of course, in akhirah, you don't allow people to come in front of you. The salat is giving iqama. In the first row, there is a spot. And brothers spend half an hour, please. No, please. You do not allow people to come in front of you. You go. Oh, it's rude. No, it's not rude. This is Jannah. Would you let someone enter Jannah first? In the mall, be my guest. Enter first. But in things of good deeds and getting closer to Allah, do not let anyone come before you. So this hadith, by the way, again, it does not mean it is only for Muslims. Even for non-Muslims. Ah, Sheikh, come on, this is too much. We've listened to you before, but this is too much. Do you mean that I have to love to non-Muslims what I love to myself? Yes. This is given as in general. But even for non-Muslims, would you like to be guided to Jannah? You have to love for them as well. And this is one of the best incentives for you to call others to Islam. Because the Prophet says that you will not believe until you love for them what you love for yourself. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in an authentic hadith, love for others what you love for yourself and you become a Muslim. Love for others what you love for yourself and you become Muslim. Yani you will not become a true, full-fledged Muslim until you love for others, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Until you like goodness for them. And this is why the manifestation of the companions and the tabi'een, when dealing with non-Muslims, they would even advise them, especially in transactions, when they're selling them something, a Muslim comes and says, how much is this? He said, one ringgit. Yeah, but it's not good, it's not good. And then a non-Muslim comes and says, this is 5 ringgit, top quality. This is haram. Then the companions and the tabi'een would also give advice to the non-Muslims. And this is how people accept Islam. How did the Muslims, Islam comes to come to Malaysia, to Indonesia? Through the traders. But were they like our traders today? A'udhu billah. Wallah, they would have abandoned Islam forever. They were real Muslims. They used truth. They had trust. And people accepted the way they dealt because of their akhlaq. And this is how a real Muslim must be when dealing with Muslims, and also double that when dealing with non-Muslims. Because you are portraying Islam. I am under the microscope. If I do a single mistake, no one will say, Asim did a mistake. They will say, the Sheikh did a mistake. Islam made a mistake. If his religion was good, he would have behaved well. But it is not good, and this is why he's corrupt. So each and every one of you is under the microscope. Calling people to Islam, behaving as a Muslim. Do you think that I do not want to abuse people who say bad things to me? I don't have the feeling I want to hit them. I have this, I'm a human being. But what makes me stop is Islam. One of the brothers, Jazallah Khair, on Twitter was saying that, Sheikh Asim, may Allah bless you and make you steadfast for exposing the people of deviation, and you have to be harsh because this is from the Salaf, and you have to be, A'udhu Billah, is it from the Salaf that I have to be harsh with the people of innovation? Does it say in my religion that I have to be harsh and rude and abusive? This is what he's saying to me. I'm a Salafi, but I never knew that this was part of Islam. It is not part of Islam. Those youngsters, the youth who are growing up thinking that part of being a Salafi or abiding by the Quran and the Sunnah or fighting innovation, part of it is to be rude, to be abusive, to say a word and not care, not to be diplomatic. This is totally un-Islamic. And my role model is the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. With all respect to the Salaf, but I take my religion from the Quran and the Sunnah. So how did the Prophet deal, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the Christians, with the Jews, with the wrongdoers? People come due to their ignorance, urinate in the masjid. He fights with them? No. He talks with them with diplomacy. Ignorance need to be taught. But to be abusive or to be aggressive, this is not part of our religion. And this concept of what he likes, none of you will have faith until he likes for other what he likes for himself. This was manifested by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet appoints Khalid ibn Walid as a ruler. He appoints companions to the regions as rulers. When Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, one of the first to embrace Islam, yani very, very old, senior, he has seniority. He comes and says, "Oh Prophet of Allah, appoint me to be a ruler on one of the regions." What does the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wasalam? He holds his shoulders and he said, "Abu Dharr, you are weak. However, I love for you what I love for myself." And this is part of the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Do not appoint yourself over two people. Yani, do not appoint yourself as ruling over two. And do not take charge of the money of an orphan. Why? When you take charge of the money of the orphan, who will hold you accountable? No one. So you will abuse it. If I have my nephew, his father died, and he was a millionaire, and I'm appointed by the government or by the family to be his guardian, I will abuse it if I don't have fear in Allah. So the Prophet is telling him not to do this, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he gave us an example. He said, "By Allah, I read the ayah of the Quran and I know so much knowledge about it and I wish I can share it with everyone else." The knowledge you have, do you have the enthusiasm to share it with everyone else? No. I don't have time. I don't want to teach people. I don't enjoy teaching people. This is problematic. When you have something that you love and people do not have, if you don't want to teach them and share it with them, then your iman is under questioning. And also, Muhammad ibn Wasi' of the Tabi'een, he once wanted to sell a donkey. So the man buying it, he said, "Do you accept it for me? Would you allow me to buy it?" And he said, "If I did not accept it to you, I would not have sold it." I implement and I apply this hadith. I would not sell something unless I approve of it for myself. So now when you sell your car, what do you do? Some of the brothers goes to the tires with black tea, so it becomes shiny. Takes it to car wash, fixes anything that, and the inside is corrupt, it's rusty, it's bad. He never tells. "How's the car? MashaAllah." In Saudi, when you go to the car market, the man who's auctioning the car, so that he would not be accused of cheating, what does he say? "This car is 2017 model. Doesn't go forward, doesn't go backwards, doesn't fly, doesn't sail. It has no engine, it has no oil. Oil is in water, water is in oil. The windows do not work." The car is almost brand new. But he's saying all of this so that when you come and say, "Akhi, the car has this fault in it." "I told you." He lies. And this is happening. No, in Islam, you do not do this. You show people what is happening. Tayyib, move on. Yeah, I know we have 10 minutes, but yani, stop or do push-ups. You choose.
Okay. chapter 7. To love the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a part of faith. Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By him in whose hands my life is, none of you will have faith till he loves me more than his father and his children."
The second hadith.
Narrated Anas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "None of you will have faith till he loves me more than his father, his children, and all mankind."
So this is an addition. Not only father and children, but all mankind. This hadith is one of the proofs that you are a believer, that you should love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Those who do not love the Prophet, raise your hands. Wallah, they're awake, huh? MashaAllah. Good, good. So they all love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But this love requires proof. So when you say that you love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we ask you to do what? Prove it. And proving it is not by simply claiming. It is by implementing his sunnah in every single aspect of your life. And this love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is it a condition, meaning that a person has to love the Prophet more than his children, his father, and humankind, otherwise he's not a believer? Yes or no? Wrong. No, yeah. Why? See, the Prophet said that you will not believe until I am more beloved to you than your father, your children, and the whole human race. You will not believe. This is a negation. And the negation means one of three. Either the existence, there is no love. There is no iman at all, meaning you're a kafir. Or the validity, meaning there is iman, but it is invalid. Or the perfection. There is iman, it is valid, but it's not complete. So when we say that, for example, there is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. When we say there is no God, we're talking about existence or validity or completion. Existence. There is no God. Khalas. There is no God at all. You don't even doubt it. There is no God worthy of being worshipped. But when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لا يزني الزاني حين ي... Well, this is... Translating it is problematic. So we will go to something else. لا صلاة بغير وضوء. There is no prayer without wudu. Existence, validity, or completion? Validity, because I have prayed. It exists, but it is not valid. And when the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, لا صلاة بحضرة طعام. There is no prayer while there is food being served. There is no prayer existing. No, I prayed and the food is in front of me. Biryani is in front of me. I can see the steam. And it's meat. I don't eat chicken biryani. It's steam. Okay. Is it valid? It is valid. Is it complete? No, it's not complete. So this is the negation in all of the Quran and Sunnah. Either the existence or the validity or the completion. So now we come to the Prophet ﷺ. No one of you, none of you will have faith. So I will not have faith, meaning existence? Probably. I don't know. How do I know? By looking in other ahadith. Such as, Umar was once with the Prophet ﷺ. And all of a sudden Umar said, by Allah, O Prophet of Allah, you are dearer to me than my family, my children, my father, everything except myself. You are more beloved to me than anything on earth except me. I love myself more than... So the Prophet said, no, Umar, until I am more beloved to you than your soul between your in your chest. So Umar took a few seconds, thought of it. He said, by Allah, you are more beloved to me than my father, than my children, than the whole human race, and than myself. The Prophet said, now, Umar, you have become a full-fledged mu'min. So the Prophet, when Umar said to him, except myself, did not tell him, la yu'min, none of you will have faith, then the existence is not there. Which means that, yes, iman is there, but the validity or the completion are doubtful until you complete it. And this is why the scholars say that loving yourself is natural. Loving the Prophet or someone else is by choice. And in you cannot be sincere in loving the Prophet until you give priority to following him, believing in him, and implementing what he said over every aspect of your life. And if you look at it logically, you will understand it. Your love to your father, your love to your children, your love to anyone is subjective to natural love and what they provide for you. Don't we find children saying, I hate my father? True? There are a lot. Don't you find fathers saying, I hate my kids? They've disgraced me, they have done this and that. So this is subjective. With the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it is not. It is unconditional, because anytime you feel any form of hate or lack of love, this takes you out of the fold of Islam. Because you cannot hate the Prophet. No one hates him. So even those who do not acknowledge it or know it, like Umar in the beginning, you may think that, I love the Prophet, but not to that extent. He's not thinking straight. He loves the Prophet more than anything else, but he's not thinking straight. Because what did the Prophet do to us, alayhi salatu wasalam? He got us out from darkness into the light. There is no possible way of entering paradise, which is eternal na'im, eternal enjoyment, except through him. And there is no way we can stay out of hellfire, except through him and avoiding what he told us not to do. So our love to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is unlike any other human being on earth, regardless whether he's a father, he's a son, or he is one of the spouses. Ibn Sa'di, may Allah have mercy on his soul, says in the tafsir of the ayah, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim." Allah says, the Prophet is more worthy of the believers than themselves. How can someone be more worthy than myself? This is possible. Zayd ibn Dithinna, he was captured and he was taken to Mecca to be executed. And while he was brought to be executed, Abu Sufyan, who was a kafir at the time, may Allah be pleased with him, told him, Zayd, would you like to be among your wife and children in Medina, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is in your place being executed? What did he say? He said, by Allah, I would not like to be in Medina between my wife and children in my home, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is in Medina in his home, and there's a thorn coming to his foot, let alone being executed. Not even a thorn coming into his foot and harming him in Medina. No, I'd rather be executed rather than him getting this. This is true love to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the most beloved to our heart. And he is worthy of us than us to ourselves. That is why whenever there is a contradiction between what he orders us to do and what we want to do, we always give precedence, we always give priority to what he commands us to do. And the scholars say the love that people have to others can be of three categories. One, loving and praising, such as loving of parents, loving of scholars, loving of rulers. It can be the love of mercy. And this is manifested when you love your children and grandchildren. Thirdly, to love someone who is in the same level of you. Such when you love your spouse, or you love a friend or a colleague. The Prophet's love, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has to be more than all of us.